Hello, friends. It's time for another edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, coming to you from the past, because this show is going out on Monday. We're sitting here recording it on a Friday. It's what we call in the business a pre-record. This is very much a pre-record. We're recording it on a Friday so we can include the dulcet tones of the Doctor, Stephen Watson, who we'll get into in a minute. But first of all, of course, I'm your host as ever, Mark Heath. With me in a lovely pastel jumper, teal, we're calling that, I believe, Hutchie. The man I like to call Alfred Hitchcock, Michael Hutchins, and you know him as Hutch Hogan.
At what point would you like me to talk in this? Because I feel the urge to talk to you
Just talk whenever. How are you, mate?
I am ill.
You are ill, aren't you?
Yeah. There's a little man inside me using a pneumatic drill in my stomach.
Oh, dear.
Don't feel very well.
In a turmoil.
But I'm here because I'm a trooper.
Soldier.
Yep.
How was your birthday? Because obviously it was on Saturday. What'd you get?
Yeah. What did I get?
Did you get the love of your family?
Yes. I don't know how to answer this because that is in the past.
Exactly. Freestyle.
I got a Ferrari.
Oh!
I know. I was surprised as well.
What colour?
Red.
Amazing. Personalised number plate?
Yeah, it was from Mick, actually. Mick
Lovely.
McCarthy gave Lovely. Me his Ferrari.
He always did get on well. And his partner in crime, as I say, the entire reason that we are recording this on a Friday is because there would be a public revolt if the Doctor was not on the show. The man who's now got a new radio personality. The man who's wearing a much more understated jumper. And the man who you may have seen Hutchie shave his head on Twitter. We weren't joking at the end of the last pod. The Doctor, Stephen Watson.
Aren't all of these recorded in the past?
Yeah, they're all technically pre-recorded.
Yeah, I mean, we don't do live shows.
Well, we do.
This is prehistoric, though.
This is very old.
Okay.
Yeah, so if there has been any terrible disaster over the weekend, let us off that one. Stewie, how are you?
I'm very well.
Excellent. How's the haircut?
Yeah, it's good. I did have to tart that up a little bit afterwards, and he missed a few patches.
The first go, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it was pretty solid, mate, to be
honest. I thought so. I was told I was too gentle.
Some people quite put off by you touching Stewie's head.
Well, I invite them to touch his head, because why wouldn't you want to touch it?
If you're not comfortable with that, one man touching another man's head, then that's your problem.
How else are you going to shave it? Just when you normally do it, do you touch your own head? When you've had it shaved by a professional, have they touched your head?
That's a good point, actually. Probably it's probably not too much skin-on-skin contact.
Then I gave a more intimate experience.
Which I enjoyed.
Good.
It was beautiful. If you haven't seen that, go and watch it on Twitter now. You can find it on there. It's got something like a million views, something like that. Roscoe, producer Ross, freshly shorn himself. How are you, Ross?
I'm good.
Excellent.
I filmed that haircut. That was, yeah.
Just the producer, aren't you?
Basically.
Produce it.
Produce things.
And you've been filming some Speedway this morning.
I did, yeah. Very rainy Foxhall Stadium.
Excellent. That's, of course, because the Ipswich Witches have reached the grand playoff final, which is a big deal, so I'm told.
Meeting. Not a match. It's a meeting.
Boys, obviously, Ipswich Town didn't play. Weekend just passed.
Are we going to do this whole thing pretending that
absolutely,
we're recording this on Monday?
Because we're professionals.
Okay. I'm going to struggle with this.
Okay. Before we get on to... Because what I want to do today is like a kind of season-so-far review. Because obviously a quarter of the season has officially gone 11 games... Town top of the table, blah, blah, blah. Best in the league up by Christmas, all of that. Before we move on, can we please pause for a moment to appreciate the brilliance that was Colleen Rooney versus Rebecca Vardy?
That's got to be in the top three moments in Twitter history, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, that was good, wasn't it?
It's up there with the David Cameron pig's head day.
Yeah.
That also sparked... That's when Twitter is at its best, isn't it? With
some of the stuff that people created around that was just brilliant. Absolutely amazing. I think my favourite was the line of duty one.
Yeah.
About really not being able to get away with adultery because he's married to DS on it.
There was also
another one. Yeah. You're going to say the same thing, aren't you? That Rebecca Vardy had the right to be questioned by a wag at least one rank superior.
Yeah. A Wagatha Christie was a trending hashtag, which I thought was brilliant as well. I very much enjoyed that. Well done if you're involved in that. Well done indeed. Boys, let's move on to the season preview. Season review so far, as I say, 11 games gone. Now, I want to do this in a slightly different way. As you know, I'm quite a senior manager, quite a big deal at Argent. And so what we do quite a lot, as senior managers, you wouldn't understand, but we do something called a SWOT analysis, which stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. So I want to do that for this season review so far, because it doesn't merit a full season review, obviously. It's the half-term report, as Stuart Watson
coined. What was the last thing you SWOT analysed?
I've never done it ever in my life.
Do you
mate.
SWOT analyse us on a regular basis?
Probably me.
No comment. No comment. Definitely on Ross. I mean, some obviously would call me a middle manager with no real power, who's hideously underpaid. But yeah, I wouldn't. Anyway, let's start with the strengths of Ipswich Town season. And let's start so far. I put a poll out midweek because you were all off and I needed something to put online. Who was the best player from Town's first 11 games of the season? And the winner of that online, with 29% of the vote, was Big Daddy Kane. Kane Vincent-Young. Yeah. Ross, I think he may actually now officially have a better theme tune than you.
Yeah.
This is awesome. So Kane Vincent-Young won. Cole Skews was second. Flynn Downs was third. And Caden Jackson was fourth in our vote. Vincent-Young was a runaway winner. He won by 10% of the vote. Quite surprised as well to see James Norwood only got 1% of the vote. Interesting. So first of all, what do you think? Who would you give that prize to? And what do you think about KVY getting it?
It's an embarrassment of riches, isn't it? It's mad to think of the people you would even consider arguing for in this when you compare that to the lack of runners for the last season's Player of the Year award, which ultimately went to Luke Chambers. It's laughable that in such a short space of time we're talking about... You could argue, how many, 10? 10 of them? You could justifiably give a bit of an argument for why they would be the best player so far?
Yep.
I'm not going to do that.
No.
But you could.
It shows you how sort of like a week's a long time in football, or a couple of weeks, because if we did this not that long ago, James Norwood would have been right up there, off the back of scoring all his goals in a short space of time and at the peak of wrestling gifts and all of that. I'm sure he would have been right up there. But if you were analysing it over the piece of 11 games, for me, Cole Skews, just for pure consistency. He's one of two players that have started every league game, him and Downs. Vincent-Young has come in and made a huge difference, completely changed the dynamic. And if we have this conversation at the end of the season and he's still going, then that's a different conversation. But just on these 11 games, for me, Cole Skews.
I wouldn't argue with that. People I could try and argue for, I'd argue that Thomas Holy would be in the contention as well. Did he get...
He was on there. I think he got about 4%.
Yeah, just if you wanted to argue for him, he's come in and been a calming presence in goal where we didn't know what to expect with him. Another one that I would stand for would be James Wilson, and this would be probably... I'm not going to sit here and argue that he is Ipswich Town's best player. I don't know if I think that's true or not, but if you're analysing it on a kind of expectation versus production scale, he's tipped that scale ridiculously far in the direction we probably weren't expecting. He was a pure stopgap. That's what he looked like when he was signed. He wouldn't be here if Toto Nsiala hadn't injured his hamstring in pre-season, and he's become a central figure to the team. So, you know what, I'll put him forward, why not?
I've looked at the Wilson stats. He started 10 games and Ipswich has won 9 of them.
7 clean sheets. It's pretty mad, isn't it?
Yep.
That's tasty. Roscoe, we've got Cole Skews, we've got James Wilson. You've also seen most of the games, although you've missed a fair few. No comment. Who are you giving it to? Who's been your best player of the season so far?
Miles Kenlock.
Oh, here we go.
Definitely not Miles Kenlock. Yes. Yeah, Flynn Downs.
Yes, another man with a great theme tune. Why would you say Flynn?
To be fair, him and Cole Skews have been fantastic in the middle. So I think just them as a partnership, and him to really step up from that moment at Cambridge, and him to like go ignore that and then just come right back into that. And you know, I think he's done well. We scored as well, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Boys. Before the start of the season, would we have expected to see Caden Jackson do so well in that poll after 11 games?
No. Well, it depends what point. He's scoring goals in pre-season, but we didn't think they were going to play two up front, really, did we?
No, I think at the start of the summer, if you'd have asked people who would you rather lose, Jackson or Harrison, most people would have probably said Jackson at that stage, because it looked for all the world Ipswich were going to play one up front. He didn't seem suited to that. And then here we are, fast forward a few months, they're playing two up top. He's the top goal scorer. And we can get into a debate about the Norwood Jackson, who's done better. What a nice debate that is to have. I mean, read Dave Gooderham, our columnist, has done a nice piece on that this week about, you know, it's not just about the analysis of the goals, it's what they're doing for each other and stuff like that. But, yeah, fair play to Caden. It just shows you how big a quality confidence is in football, isn't it?
I was told by a few people in the summer who know both of the players pretty well that there was no way that James Norwood and Caden Jackson could play as a front two. They were too similar and just wouldn't work. But it does, and that's credit to them too, because they've made that work. It was almost at the very start, it was kind of like just two good strikers playing up front on their own, but you've seen a partnership grow a little bit as the season's gone on, and that's great.
Okay, there we go. So the boys are saying Cole Skuse, James Wilson, Flynn Downs. I'd probably give it to Jordan Roberts, to be honest. He's been good in the trophy, and I've listened to a lot of his quotes, so I feel affinity for Mr. Roberts.
Is he taking over from Mr. Drynan?
Well, Drynan's kind of out of sight, out of mind at the moment, isn't he? Doing his
not out of your mind.
Not doing his thing in the Super Wetton, as the case may be. Yeah, I'd say Jordan Roberts at the moment is my particular favourite Ipswich Town player.
We should explain, because when Andy and I cover a Tuesday night game, quite often we'll both then take Wednesday as our day off the next day, and
selfish.
we will forward over any player audio to Mark to piece together into an article, and it's quite often Jordan Roberts saying that he's ready to grasp his chance after an appearance in the EFL Trophy.
Had that twice this season?
Twice.
You had that after Luton and then after Tottenham?
He basically could have sent me the same interview both times.
He hasn't grasped it. He hasn't played in the league since.
No. His favourite phrase is, keep my head down, work hard, take my opportunity with both hands when it comes. And he repeats that probably three or four times per interview, and bear in mind the interview's about 5 minutes long. It's a bit repetitive. Anyway, but now I feel like I've got to know Jordan.
He's your man.
Yeah. Boys, so we've got our players of the season so far. As the name of the analysis suggests, we're also talking general strengths. So what else has been a strength of Town's superb start to the season so far for you?
Clean sheets. Just clean sheets. It's crazy. I mean, is it seven in the league? Seven of 11?
You're
Six?
Putting me on the spot. Five goals conceded, isn't it?
I think it's seven. I think Thomas Holy has kept seven clean sheets in the 11 games that he's played for Ipswich. And I would not have expected that at all. Especially when we were talking at the start of the season about it's going to be Luke Wolfenden and maybe Cole Skuse at centre-back on the opening day of the season. To turn that around and keep so many clean sheets and just not even... At so many times, they've not really looked like conceding goals. And you've got that confidence that they can go and win games 1-0 because they can keep a clean sheet. And that's massive.
Yeah, sort of exploring that theme further, I would just say mental strength. To have turned that losing habit, everyone's biggest fear was this is a team that no matter how good the squad is, you think, for that level of football, psychologically there was a lot of damage done last year. It wasn't a huge player overhaul. To have gone from winning 5 games in 46 to winning, what is it now?
8 in the league.
8 in 11 plus the cup games, yeah, as well. I think that so much credit to that psychological, mental strength to have. And in scenarios, going right back to the first day where you're 1-0 up, backs to the wall, to sort of grind out, was it 4 1-0 wins away from home? That's remarkable. And that all feeds into the clean sheets and everything else.
Mm. Roscoe, what's been there other than obviously Big Flynn? Flynnadines are Downs. What else has impressed you so far?
You know, playing Emia Hughes, for him to actually play a full 90 and actually play a few league games. You know, first competitive, you know, league game when he came on against Burton. That's from like December 2017, or something like that. So for him to be able to actually play, we were like, you know, Hutchie did a story on, you know, Hughes about, you know, he thought he may not ever play again, but and for him to actually play a handful of games this season is, for me, a big bonus.
It's been a massive bonus, hasn't it? Mm. Just pausing at that point, because I realised that I've abandoned my own plan. Emma Hughes scored against Gillingham on Tuesday night. I forgot, because obviously it was more than a week ago now. So let's just quickly digress to talk about Gillingham. Hughes scored, King scored. Town, it was basically a cakewalk. Stuart Watson, you said it was a glorified training exercise. Just very quickly, let's run the rule over that game. What do you make of it?
Can I first of all take this opportunity to apologise to Emir Hughes, because I suggested in my initial tweet that there was a deflection in his goal. Emir decided to tweet me after the game to suggest that I might need to give my glasses a clean. I did apologise, but then I watched the footage back. I still think there might have been a little nick. It goes through a couple of players on its way to goal.
It's a pretty hollow apology.
Yeah, but...
Sorry, but not sorry.
It wasn't a big deflection or anything like that. And I just want to say, fair play, Emir. That's great. I mean, listen, we've all heaped praise on him. I think Andy and I both made him our man of the match on Tuesday night. It wasn't just the goal. It was his general play. He looks, game by game, like he's getting there now, that box-to-box Emir Hughes. In his first few comeback games, looked like he was playing within himself a little bit, but he's popping up on the edge of the box. He scored that goal. He had two or three more that were charged down, didn't he, on the edge of the box.
That little, the Emir Hughes moment from that game that stands out for me is that little touch around the little ginger man in midfield. Do you remember that one where he just touched the ball past him and then just burned around the outside of him and he was away? That's Emir Hughes back to... I say what we remember him as. I don't know if I ever actually saw him do that because I wasn't watching Ipswich when he was in his pomp.
Box to box is what I would describe Emir Hughes as. That's, you know, he is someone that his starting position is deep, but he makes those either a surging run or a late run. That's what I think Emir Hughes is, and that's what he was starting to do again on Tuesday night. And the good thing about that thing that Andy just mentioned is, the guy went looking for revenge a few seconds later, a young Gillingham player who's obviously keen to make an impression, and he wiped Emir out seconds later, and you sharp intake of breath, but Emir just bounces straight up, dusts himself down, and that's a man who I think now has got full confidence in his body now. He looks like he's ready to take some knocks.
Yeah, you just gave me the Stew wink again. Did you see that?
The little Watson wink.
The little Watson wink.
I like the little Watson
wink. I like the way,
wink.
When you, if you're coming to the live pod, look out for this, because when Stu's happy with a sentence, he'll punctuate it with a wink. I don't think you even know you're doing it, do you?
I really don't.
It was a really good sentence, to be fair. So, fair play to
well
you.
Done,
well
done, mate.
Thanks.
Well done on that sentence.
Hutchie, any other notes from Gillingham?
I've got no wink-worthy notes.
I'm pleased you said that, right.
What other word would it be? Nice to see Emir Hughes play well. No, Will Keane. He's still finding his way fitness-wise, but I really liked the finish for his goal. It was a lovely little finish. So composed, so calm. That's how you score one-on-ones. Really good. And I thought Idrissel Mizuni had a good game as well. I think, looking back at it, he probably had a hand in all four of those goals, with some minor touches, some bigger contributions. But
his name featured a lot in Stuart Watson's tweets, which I was using to compile the action from the game.
The skill leading up to Emir's goal was outstanding out on the right touchline. Mm. You know, he bamboozled a couple of defenders there, a bit of strength as well. So he was good. The corner that led to the goal, that was all about the pace of the delivery. And I think Danny Rowe is deserving of a mention as well. He played in that sort of number 10 role, which is where he played for Lincoln during the loan spell last season. We've always kind of known him as a winger during his time at Ipswich, but I thought he looked very lively, and he ended up sort of coming on and playing up front in the game at Fleetwood in the latter stages, and perhaps we might see him centrally in the coming weeks.
This is Ipswich Town reserves we're talking about here. It's crazy, isn't it? There's some really good performances in there. Big old squad, very strong squad.
Will Keane made the point after the game that was probably, you could put out that as a first 11 in League One, and you probably would be fairly competitive.
Yeah. Well, quite a lot of them started against Burton probably on the first week.
Four or five of them, I think.
Other than obviously the game itself and the scoreline and the win, the main storyline going into and but not coming out of the game was Honey Badger versus Honey Monster on the touchline, which never really caught fire, disappointingly. You're saying basically they stayed away from each other entirely.
Yeah, I think this one's going to end at a sequel. There's going to be no trilogy for this one. I don't know if we can hype up round three, given round two was a bit of a...
So they didn't come within any kind of...
So I we stood up to watch what happened pre-match. So Paul Lambert is quite often the last manager to emerge from the tunnel at Portman Road, and you have to walk half the length of the pitch to get to your seat. Evans and his mob were entrenched quite early. Paul left it very late to come, paused, signed a few autographs, did a few pictures, and then they just stayed apart. I think one member of the Gillingham backroom staff sort of broached the divide and crossed the divide and shook hands a couple of times, but then when the full-time whistle went, Lambert was up straight down the tunnel, and that was that. You know, he was true to his word, just blanked him, basically.
Okay, Gillingham ticked. Let's get back to my tenuous season, mini-season review. Weaknesses, boys. We've done reasons to be cheerful. How about reasons to be fearful? See what I've done there. Obviously, Town have unbeaten. They've only lost one game all season. They're top of the league. But are there any little reasons in there? Maybe little things you're looking at thinking, oh, they need to improve?
T is for threats, right, in SWAT?
Yes.
So things that are threats, probably I'm not going to say them now.
Okay, but weaknesses?
Actual weaknesses.
We've referred to it a few times, and you even put it to Mr. Lambert, and he didn't like it. The fact they've not played for a full 90 minutes yet. Do you still think there are gears to go through?
I feel like we've said that quite a lot. People seem to be picking up on the fact now that Fleetwood was the first time there was no mention of room for improvement and gears to go up. Does that mean that they've peaked at this stage? But it feels churlish to kind of pick it apart too much, given everything that we've discussed. But they haven't put together a really good 90-minute performance. And I think Paul Lambert misinterpreted that when we talked about it in the press conference the other week. We're not talking about them being Brazil 82 or Barcelona, peak Barcelona, but they've played well in patches, and that's been enough in this division against this level of opposition to get the job done. But the fearful part of it is that better teams would have punished them at the stages in the game where they've not been quite at it. At this level, you don't get punished. Your mistakes don't get punished as regularly as they do further up the chain, but they're doing enough. They've got enough of a goal threat. They're good enough at the back. But, we'll see. If you were going to pick any negative, that would probably be it.
Okay. How about this then? To use a football cliche, someone who was nowhere near it when I came to making up that poll for player of the season so far, certain Irishman, Alan Judge. What are we making of his contribution so far this season, or lack of? Is that a concern? Is that a worry?
It's a worry for him. The fact Ipswich are still winning without him, maybe he isn't as big a part of this Ipswich team as we thought he was going to be. Maybe they don't need him as much as they do, but I'm not sure if I think that's right. I think a fit, firing, happy, confident Alan Judge would still add something to Ipswich. I'd want to see more of him in the favoured kind of 10 position with the two strikers ahead of him. I'm not sure we've seen that enough to really judge him. He's probably he spent more time on the wing. When he's played as a second striker, which probably isn't his forte either. You would hope there's more from him, but I think you can always feed it back to a positive that they're winning without him.
Yeah, it's hard really to look at negatives when you're sitting top of the league and haven't lost a league game. I was just trying to throw something in for you to talk about there, boys. Roscoe, you sit pitch side now, so you get a different angle. Is there anything that you've seen that concerns you, other than that we've already discussed?
I wouldn't say concerns me, but I'd like to see more goals. There's not, you know, I know we've had 3-0 against Rosebery, 4-1 against Tranmere, but there's not been a game where we've really gone out there and
run riot.
Yeah, basically. More goals. Norwood to finish more of his chances. We've discussed that before. So for him to actually, one-on-ones with a keeper, to actually slot it home instead of just basically shooting right at him.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to...
Are we worried about that, boys? The Norwood profligacy in front of goal? He's squandered a few one-on-ones, hasn't he?
He needs one to go in, doesn't he? I think when another cliche, if he scores one, I'm sure a few more would come. But he could do with a one with a goal like that going in, because he scored a lot of those for Tranmere last year.
Absolutely.
You want him to get one.
Yeah, that's a slight minor concern of mine, is that Norwood's, I think the groin injury has probably played its part, and the not taking the one-on-ones. So if you were to sort of, if you've dialed down his performances a little bit in the last few weeks, Jackson's scoring goals, But then beyond that, you've got Will Keane, who I know he took his goal very well on Tuesday night, but I thought his overall performance suggested that he's very much at the start of his recovery. I think it's going to take him a few more weeks to get up to speed. Jordan Roberts got a toe injury, but he was nowhere near it anyway. I don't know how long it's going to be till Freddie Sears gets back. So you're just starting to look at, are they a little bit light in the short term with at the top end of the pitch? But to flip that onto a positive, they're getting goals from all over the pitch. And, you know, I think John Nolan will chip in with plenty of goals from midfield. Garbutt's set pieces we've seen are a massive weapon. Kane Vincent-Young's looks like a threat coming in off the right-hand side. Be nice if some of the centre-backs started scoring some goals. I think a James Wilson header can't be too far away from what we've seen.
He gets on a few, doesn't he? A big thumping Chambers header is long, long overdue as well.
O stands for opportunities in the next part of our analysis. Who has the opportunity to make a lot of noise in the rest of the season? Armando Dobra, Abracadabra, El Mazzuni, Freddie Sears, like a new player coming back, Alan Judge. What are we saying?
Are we talking about people that aren't at the moment, but you can see the potential?
Answer it however you see fit, my friend. That's why it's analysis.
John Nolan.
Yeah?
Yep. I think we're going to, at some point, we will start to see this rotation game slow down. And I think we might already be starting to see a bit of a preferred 11 emerge. I think he's going to be in that. He could well be the 10 in that. He could be deeper.
I think he's got to be at the moment with Skews and Downs, as Ross touched upon earlier. They, you know, have formed a really good partnership. They're starting to develop a good, you know, hunting in pairs, and that's really working well. They've started every game, those two, and then Nolan's coming in looking like a goal threat. You know, again, where does Alan Judge fit in with those three? Those three could start to be, and then with Emir Hughes coming back into the mix as well. Yeah, you're right. Where does that leave Alan Judge at the moment? But what were we talking about?
John Nolan. I just think they're playing a game that suits him so much more at the moment. He's the starting position of the team is higher. The fullbacks get higher, which means the whole base of where Ipswich attack from is higher. We talked about, it was probably this time last year, we were starting to talk about John Nolan as, he's not getting in the box as much as we thought. Look at these goals he scored for Shrewsbury. He's getting in the boxes. I think he scored one for at Birmingham like that by this time of last year. But I think he's just going to have chances to do that. I think he should be looking at something near double figures this year, if I'm honest.
He's flames, isn't he? It's going to be good. Stuart Watson, let me ask you this. You're going to say something. You want to add something to that?
Well, I was going to throw in my name for opportunity.
Go on, go for it.
Freddie Sears.
Yes.
I think when Freddie Sears is fit, he's another one that people forget, a bit like Skews and Chambers that kind of got lumped in with. He's just been a solid pro for us. Freddie Sears will be too good for this level of football. Yeah. And I think his tenacious, non-stop, hard-working qualities will be... You know, he's not going to be phased. He's done it at League One level before. I think playing in a front two, I think he's going to be really good for Ipswich if they can get him back to good levels of fitness.
What's the latest on when we're expecting Freddie back?
He's always said November.
Okay. Next month?
Yeah, it is next month. We're not that far in the future, are we? This is going out in October?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah.
But is there a need to rush? Probably not. And that's the luxury that the Ipswich have got at the moment. When I spoke to Emir Hughes a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that. Whereas last season, if players were injured, maybe there was a tendency to... Will Keane as well has said this, that if players were injured, you maybe came back a little bit sooner because it was such a desperate situation, but it's not that now. Take your time, get him right, have the luxury of a few under-23s games. He may even play in that checker trade, whatever it is, leasing, Carabao, whatever thing.
Mickey Mouse.
It's not Mickey Mouse. No, it is. It's great. At Colchester, yeah. That's mid-November. You never know. But maybe a bit soon. But just take your time. Get him right. Be the January signing.
That could have been a wink, if you could do that.
I can't wink.
No. Roscoe, I'm loath to ask you this, because you're just going to say all your bloody mates, but who would you like to see a bit more of, opportunity-wise?
Thanks, Ross.
All the players have been mentioned. Just some of the younger kids, maybe.
Like who?
You know what, Lancaster, once again, the options in our team is crazy. Yeah. So when he's back from his injury, and then, yeah, Dobra to really burst through, because I think he wants to try his best, but, you know, got all them options. I think Edwards will be tossed aside, I think. I think that's a big thing. I think Edwards may not be...
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
You heard it here first. Edwards is on his way out. Okay, that was good. Let's move on. I've got one more question for you on the opportunities front. Town have the opportunity to win the Mickey Mouse Leasing.com trophy. It's not Mickey Mouse, of course. We get to Wembley and play in front of 80,000 fans, and it's a good day out, and you win something. Should they be looking at taking... All right, Mr. Negative over there, Mr. Grumpy in the corner. Should they be looking at taking the opportunity to win that, or should they be just focusing 100% on the league?
Win it.
Yes, that's it.
I say win it. I think they've treated the competition exactly how I would treat it if I was a football manager. I would use the group games as kind of a squad filler exercise, get players games that need games. And if you can get your way through the group stage, which they've done, intact, using your reserves, then you start to take it seriously. And that's exactly what they've done. They've done it with a game to spare. So the Colchester game will be the same. You'd still rotate things a little bit, I'm sure. But they've got the strength to do it. So go and win it. Why not?
What are you saying, Stewie?
I think just keep playing it exactly how they are at the moment. And I think there's no reason that won't then look after itself, and the depth of the squad that we've been talking about will carry them through. But I don't think you should change the game plan all of a sudden later in the rounds to suddenly go, oh, we start treating this more seriously and putting out our best 11. The league is absolutely the top priority. Sunderland last year made the final, lost in the playoffs. The year before, Shrewsbury made the final, lost in the playoffs. You know, so Shrewsbury's squad almost certainly would have been a lot smaller. Sunderland's probably had a bit more depth to it, but getting to Wembley, I know Ipswich are one of the very few clubs that haven't actually played at the new Wembley. You can't turn your nose up at that, but
I'm not saying that you suddenly put Cole Skews in the team, play James Norwood, but if you just look at the team they played the other night, you had Will Norris in goal, perfectly good goalkeeper. Two of the defenders were Wolfenden and Wilson, who were part of the kind of the gun league team, if you were to pick it, with Toto in the middle. Yeah, you probably can keep going. Maybe what you do is you phase out the academy, the scholars, the academy kids, as you go on. That's probably how I'd play it.
I get a feeling that, and we talked about this the other night, that the team for the EFL Trophy games might actually get weaker rather than stronger as time goes on, because at the minute they're playing Hughes and Keane and the like because they're getting minutes in their legs. But later in the season, they might just be trying to minimise risk of injury to them, and we might actually start seeing some of the younger ones come into it. We'll see. But the squad depth is there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And you've got to try and keep these guys happy. They want games. And if we're talking about Sears, Bishop, Nydam, Lancaster at some point, they're going to need games.
The next wave of players coming back from injury, yeah.
Just for the record, I quite fancy a league EFL Trophy and FA Cup triple this season.
Has anyone ever done that from going for the
treble?
Easy, Ross.
Sorry.
Going for the first round of the FA Cup to win it.
I think it's unlikely that's ever happened. But why not, eh? Why not? Dare to dream. Dream big, aim high. All the way up, hashtag. Use that quite a lot on Instagram. Boys,
you?
I do, yeah. I'm a bit of a tit, aren't I? boys, threats. And then we can get this laboured analysis over. Threats. What are the threats to Ipswich Town's remaining season?
Dealing with a setback.
Injury.
Not necessarily. Could be a defeat.
Just losing, full stop.
Yep, say they lose at Accrington, which they know how to do. they haven't dealt with that yet. And, you know, I think I'm not expecting it to sort of lead to a crisis, but they're all hurdles that haven't been jumped, haven't been cleared.
How about the month of November? Because it's going to be mad hectic, isn't it? As the kids say. There's going to be a lot of games. You're going to be working a lot. You say mad hectic, don't you, Ross, all the time?
Listening? No.
You don't really qualify as a kid anymore, to be fair. Okay. You know about bomb bags around the shoulders, so you're not really a kid. But yeah, that's going to be a really important month, isn't it, November, in terms of the kind of layout of the rest of the season?
Yeah, it always is.
Yeah.
Every month is as important.
And then next Christmas is important as well. Yeah. Toughest time of the year.
Next Christmas, Mike Bacon is already booking days off next Christmas.
Mike Bacon, you've heard a few times. If you've been listening to this podcast since we started doing it, you'd have heard him in his guise as the Big Porker in the early days when he used to come on and say outlandish things about town last season. He has already booked off December the 31st, 2020. I don't know how far ahead you book your holidays, but Mike's setting a new mark there. He's very keen on getting that, particularly in the diary. So you've mugged me off there for suggesting that November is an important month.
No, I haven't.
They're all important. Every game's important. Stewie, save me here.
Would expand that point to make it a valid one and just say, as a threat, the dealing with the schedule in general. We've just talked about the EFL Trophy. FA Cup has got the prospect of replays in there as well. You start chucking some of those in, you can get up towards that almost mythical 60-game mark that Paul Lambert keeps talking about. You're going to struggle to do that because you're out of the Carabao Cup and Bury have been kicked out of the league. But even so, the games will start to mount up. And I used Shrewsbury and Sunderland as examples earlier about how they got to that 60-game mark and both eventually faltered at the final hurdle. So that is a potential threat to Ipswich, without doubt.
We're gonna see the EFL Trophy crew in the FA Cup, though, aren't we? Is that the gut feeling there?
I would think
it'd be a similar use of squad for that.
Here endeth the brilliant quarter season review.
So what happens now then, after you've done your SWAT up in?
I go away and conclude that I need to fire at least two people
in this room.
Cut costs. That's usually what happens. But obviously looking at Ipswich Town's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats analysis, I conclude that Town are going to be up by February. So that's good news, isn't it?
Is that what the analysis
says?
That's what the analysis suggests to me.
Yeah.
If that's how it came back, then I am not one to argue with
threats,
with that.
Not a lot. Weaknesses, not a lot. Strengths, multiple. Opportunities.
And lots of opportunity.
Plentiful. So there you go. That's been the SWOT analysis of Town season so far. Did we all enjoy that?
Yes.
I hope you enjoyed that listening at home, because we're doing this especially on a Friday just for you, so we can get Stu involved as well. Roscoe, how are you?
Yes, that's
are good. You ready to hit the Mark's big question button? Let's have some nonsense.
Big question.
You still miss doing that, don't you?
Kind of. I also kind of don't.
Good. There you go, insight from Hutch there. Pig behind the curtain. Hutchie, in your lovely teal jumper, pick a question between number 1 and 39.
27. It's my house number. I'm not going to tell you what road it is.
27. Now, I'm interested to see how Stewie answers this question. 27, the question is, a rule you live your life by?
Would you like me to go first?
Yeah.
I always buy, I would never buy the cheapest of anything.
That's a good rule.
It's the way I live my life. And this started off in the world of sausages.
Where else would it start?
Well, why not? Yeah. And, definitely do not buy the cheapest sausage available.
You don't want to do that.
Because you don't know what's in there.
No.
But just in general, don't buy the cheapest thing of everything, because it will come back to bite you.
You get literally what you pay for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't buy the most expensive either if you can't afford it.
Yeah, good point.
Just don't be cheap.
I like that.
Be sensible.
I have a similar rule, which states, obviously, we're all homeowners, with the exception of Ross, and you'll be on the ladder soon, I'm sure,
hopefully.
Ross. My rule is, if you can pay someone to do it better than you'd be able to do it yourself, pay that person to do it.
That's a good rule. Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
DIY, not so good.
I need to pee.
Ross needs to pee.
Can I go for a pee, and you can carry on?
Go on.
Yeah. Did you put your hand up?
No.
You're going to struggle to get out of this
room,
this
is going to be
you?
Interesting. There's about to be a big crash as Ross tries to get out the door. There we go.
Off he goes.
So Ross has got his hall pass. He's off for a slash.
Right, my rule is...
Oh. Always have a wee before.
Yeah, that was what.
That is your rule.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You've ruined that gag now.
Oh, mate. I'm sorry.
Rules.
Yeah.
What was Paul Lambert's recent rule?
Don't hide behind rocks and smoking jackets.
Yeah, what's...
Is that one?
What's that?
Don't know what that... That was at Accrington.
Don't hide behind rocks and smoking jackets.
Nobody knows what that meant.
What's that got to mean?
There's so many things that Paul Lambert
says. Always sacrifice the me for the we.
Yeah. That's his new life motto.
Mm-hmm. Have you got a rule?
Have I got a rule? You probably know my rules better than I know my rules.
One of your rules is always ask yourself a question in response to a question.
Kindness is magic.
Oh.
Which is from...
Nice.
That's from... Is that Derek?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's always struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. I will say that that is a pretty good rule to live your life by. Be nice to people.
Yeah.
It costs nothing.
Treat others how you wish to be treated yourself, all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've got a new rule as of Tuesday night. I will no longer be wildly celebrating when I throw things successfully into bins. Because there was an incident.
Oh, this was great.
There was an incident in the Portman. I'll let Stu tell the story, because I was in a world of my own.
Okay.
There's a little sort of bar area in the press room at Portman Road where we're kindly served teas and coffees and things.
And pies.
And Andy, what were you chucking in the bin?
Just a napkin, mate. Just a napkin.
So he said, he proclaimed to anyone that would listen, I'm going to chuck this in the bin from however many feet away.
100.
Achieved that aim. And then went to do a wild Luke Chambers fist pump where he really sort of wound it up.
Can we just pause there? Did he punch someone?
Not quite, no. But as his arm came back to sort of wind up the fist pump, he absolutely smashed a full cup of tea out of the Gillingham Football Club and analyst's hand that went comically spiralling into the air, coated said man in tea, head to toe.
he was wearing a wipe-proof... like bench jacket, he was fine.
Good lord,
I was embarrassed. You asked the most embarrassing moment.
That
the
would
other
be
day.
It.
That would have been
up there. I once did something similar when I was younger, and I was trying to chat up a girl. I punched her full in the face.
You're so fighty.
We're doing this sort of play fight thing, and her face was a lot closer than I thought it was. And I punched her full in the face, Alexis. I do apologise,
Alexis.
Yeah, Alexis.
Very nice.
She. The next time I saw her. She had a massive black eye.
Oh, God.
I felt dreadful.
I've done something similar, actually. Yeah. I was playing football with a girl who was involved in the game, and I elbowed her in the face.
What, because you were being too competitive? Or?
Yeah, I was shielding the ball. Yeah. proper elbow.
Yeah, so that's another rule I'd live my life by. Don't punch women in the face.
I've never punched a girl.
Nor have I.
I've punched a lot of women, but in the legal and consensual confines of sparring down a gym.
Have you punched your wife?
Yes, a lot. She's also punched me a lot.
You need to call someone.
Well, no, it's all consensual, legal, within the confines of a gym. If that happens, and to be fair, we do have play fights at home, but Benson then gets involved and very much takes her side. So that quickly ends matters, five-stone bulldog hurling himself at you. Well, we can't ask Roscoe because he's still off for a Jimmy Riddle, and unfortunately the next section of the show also needs him, boys. So,
shall I try and press the intro button?
Well, he's got the questions. But we don't need...
It's that blue one.
Yeah, but there is no...
No, down.
Yeah, but there's no point playing the intro when we've got no game.
I just want to see if Sue can do it.
Oh, brilliant timing.
Hello and welcome to another edition of...
Quick
Strike!
I'm back.
Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth.
There you go.
Oh, that was faded down.
Oh.
Way too early.
Oh, it's a load of effort making that.
Yeah.
Stuart Watson, can I just say it's one of the best things you've ever done? You pressed that perfectly as Ross walked in the door.
Thank you.
And then Ross messed it up by fading it down halfway through. That's why he's the best, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Roscoe, we were waiting for you. How was your wee?
That was nice. And someone just... I bumped into somebody I haven't seen for a while, so they decided to chat with me, and I went, I've got a podcast to record, can we?
Did you go for a wee in the gender-neutral toilet?
Yes, I've not been in them yet.
Look out for those if you come into the live pod, gender-neutral toilets, mind you.
It's an entirely male audience, isn't it?
I'd imagine so. Well, I know it is, in fact. Yeah. So There you go. Roscoe, The Strike, it's themed this week.
It is.
To line up with the season review so far.
And it's printed out.
It is printed out.
Not scribbled on the back of a fag packet. No. Roscoe, over to you. I'm stepping all over it. You're the host.
Okay. I haven't provided any paper or pen, so once again, this is multiple choice. This is, so just...
Do you need us to present our answers on a phone?
Are we not doing a Who Am I to begin with?
No, I'm scrapping that.
Oh, that's ditched.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Get rid of that. Because not many former Town players who play in League One, really, so...
Luke Hyam?
Oh, no, but we haven't played Southend yet.
Is it Luke Hyam? Oh, I see. No. It's game so far.
Yeah, game so far. Okay. So, yes, that is the rule, the game so far. Anyone ready?
Yep.
Let's go. So, we play Burton in the opening game, 1-0. Remy Hughes made his competitive return in this game for the first time since December 2017. That's how I got that stat from earlier. For the final 10 minutes, but who did he replace? Danny Rowe, James Wilson, Caden Jackson.
I'm really going to struggle here, boys.
Once again, it can be just a guess.
What were the options?
Danny Rowe, James Wilson, or Caden Jackson.
Can I just say mine?
Yeah, why not?
I'm going to go... If I just say it first, it doesn't matter, does it? I'm going to say Caden Jackson.
Okay.
I wasn't at this game. I've put Jackson as well.
Danny Rowe.
Is that your James Wilson?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely shocked you got that wrong, Hutchie. That's not the sort of thing that you normally would forget.
Yeah. It wasn't particularly memorable. Yeah, he went off injured, actually, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Okay. We beat Sunderland... Oh, no, we know. Ooh, we drew against Sunderland 1-1. Luke Garbutt made it 2-2 when he opened the scoring, but in what minute? 11th, 13th, or 15th? And I've done a bit of a boo-boo. I've...
got the wrong answer.
You don't know the correct answer, do you?
No, I've made them all bold, but I...
Oh, God. If anyone thinks that Ross puts this on for a kind of funny persona in the podcast, I can confirm he does not. He is this shambolic in life.
There was a podcast question that came in about workplace bullying.
Yeah, from Steve Mellon.
Ross.
Thanks, Andy. No, it's Ed. Ed Packard.
No,
what?
It was Steve.
It was Steve Mellon.
It was Steve, Ross. You don't... the point I'm trying to make, and you've just backed it up, is you don't help yourself at times.
No.
This pause is just because Ross is now currently trying to find the answer. He's currently Googling it on his outlandishly sized phone.
Big phone,
so I'll fill this. This should be you, really, as the host doing this. But
we'll reveal our answers. And
yeah,
hopefully
I think it was the 11th minute.
I think it was the 11th minute.
I've put 15.
It was 11th minute.
Yes, get in.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Good.
What's the score then, Ross? Oh, God.
None of you got it right, so it's just one.
Well, we both just got
that
right. Yeah,
so 1-1.
Oh, my God.
It's not 1-1.
This is a struggle, isn't it?
It's 1-1-0.
It's 1-1.
Okay.
Oh.
We'll keep the score.
Yeah. I hope you're all looking forward to the live version of The Strike at the podcast.
Oh, dear me. It's not going to be fun.
Oh, it is.
Oh, dear. Ipswich drew 2-2 with Peterborough. Luke Chambers scoring a 90th minute header to snatch a point, but who took the corner? I do remember this one. Idris Elmazouni, Alan Judge, or Gwion Edwards?
Who?
Gwion.
Can you also say who they drew with?
Peterborough.
I'm saying Alan Judge.
Okay.
I'm saying Idris Elmazouni.
I now think that's the answer, but I put Judge, so I better stick
Idris.
To that.
Idris. Is Idris.
Because Alan Judge was sat in the corridor saying he couldn't cross a ball after that game.
Oh, disappointing.
There you go. We beat Wimbledon 2-1 thanks to a Caden Jackson 90th minute winner to seal the 3 points. But who put the ball over the top to assist Jackson for the goal? Cole Skuse, Flynn Downs, or James Wilson? I remember actually this as well.
I think I actually know the answer to this.
Flynn Downs.
Cole Skuse.
Cole Skuse.
It is. It's a good ball.
Score?
2-1.
No.
Three. Oh, so that game.
Three of us.
it's three to me, one to Mark, and now one to Stu.
Okay.
So little to get wrong. Manages it every time.
We beat Bolton 5-0, basically against the under-18s.
Easy.
Yeah. James Norwood scored twice in this game, but who assisted his second goal? Alan Judge, Edwards, or Caden Jackson?
Caden Jackson.
Second goal.
Alan Judge.
what was the options? Edwards, Jackson and Judge.
Judge.
Yep.
The one that the other two didn't say, Edwards.
It's Judge.
Oh, remember, Judge. His incredible cross.
Do you remember it? I do remember from deep.
Hutchie's pulling away now. Was it 4-1-1?
It's 4-2-1.
4-2-1. No, 4-1-1.
Yeah, 4-2-1.
Yeah.
Okay. We beat Shrewsbury 3-0.
Is there a question per game? Is that how
Yeah, basically, yeah.
We're about halfway through, boys.
Yeah. 3-0 against Shrewsbury. Norwood scored another penalty in this game, but who won the penalty? Vincent Young, Danny Rowe, or Caden Jackson?
I think it was Danny Rowe.
Okay.
I think it was Kane Vincent Young.
It was Kane Vincent
Young.
Was it also outside the box?
Yeah, debatable. But it was given as a penalty, so we got it.
5-2-1. I'll do the scores from now on.
Yeah, I bet for you to do that. Yeah. 0-0 against Doncaster. Will Kane made his return this game, but what minute did he come on to replace Caden Jackson? 78th minute, 79th minute, or 80th minute?
I don't care.
I don't, yeah, but that's the only thing I could think of for that game. It was a 0-0 draw, and there's nothing else that happened.
79.
Okay.
80.
What was the other one?
78.
78.
79.
Get in.
5-3-1. Can Stewie catch Hutchie? That's what we're clinging on to now for the
Is that the SWOT analysis?
The interest, absolutely, in this feature. Yep. Stu can still catch Andy.
Yes. MK Dons, we beat him 1-0 at their place. Cole Skuse made his 250 appearance in this game. But against which team did he make his first?
Ooh.
Had to switch over. Reading, Millwall or Doncaster?
I think it was.
It was defeat as well for this game. He played his first game.
First Ipswich Town game.
Yeah.
I think it was Doncaster.
Okay.
I think it was Reading. It would be my guess.
Okay.
I've also got Reading written.
It was Reading. We lost 2-1.
Did J-Tab score?
He
in
did.
That, game?
That was his debut since signing.
Little J-Tab.
Yeah. Little J the jockey.
Yeah. They went 1-0 up, I think.
So that's what is that now?
4-1.
I'm out of it.
Basically. Gillingham Kane Vincent Young scored his first Town goal in this game as the Town won 1-0. But in what minute did he score? The 32nd, the 33rd, or 34th?
I see where you're going with this. Did you
were
get
you
to
running
these questions
out of interest?
Just think,
yeah, there's not much things to say. What else can you say about that game?
How many passes were in the move that led to his goal?
9, what else? 25.
I'll tell you what. I won't prolong this agony any further by taking part. So let's just have
the middle option. Yes, yeah. Whatever that was.
If I was a miserable old man, I would just go the same as Stu every way. But I will go for
add
the,
some jeopardy. Come on,
the first option.
That's the third option.
Mark gets a point.
That is exactly what I'd have gone for, yeah.
You get
confirm.
That point anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done, mate.
What's the score? I've lost
6-4-2.
The will to live.
6-4-2.
Oh, run out of music.
How many more are there, Ross?
And are they all about which minute things happened in?
Possibly.
that was seamless, Ross.
We've got two more questions, okay? Okay.
Stick with us, everyone.
Yeah.
Luke Garbutt scored a 25-yard free kick, but which Tranmere player handled the ball to give away the free kick? Paul Mullen, Stephen Payne, or Connor Jellings?
Paul Mullen.
Okay.
I think it was Mullen.
It was, yeah. And finally, Town received, I put red cards for some reason, 5 yellow cards in this game, but who was shown the first? Fleetwood, Neil, which one? Norwood, Nolan, or Wilson?
James Norwood.
That was a Norwood racing back slide.
Yeah,
tackle.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
A hack. A classic hack.
Yes.
So there we go. That brings us to the end of the strike. Hutchie, I think you won. Although, frankly, I don't really care.
I'm very proud to have won this.
So you're now officially 2-1 up in the series.
Thank you.
Ross?
Yeah, I think we should cancel the strike.
No, we shouldn't cancel the strike because it's entertainment. It's not particularly intended entertainment, but it's entertainment nonetheless. Do you want to outro it as the host?
That was the strike. Goodbye.
Excellent. look forward to another award-winning episode of The Strike next time we gather.
I cannot wait for the live one.
It's going to be amazing, isn't it?
We need to get him a gold jacket.
We've got to get you a gold jacket, absolutely, or a silver, something shiny.
Sounds
and crass.
Good. Sounds good.
And I can't wait for you to present that live on stage.
Oh dear.
Because that is going to be fun, my friends.
Yes.
Mailbag.
Do you want to do it again?
No.
Okay. No.
Mailbag, mailbag. A mid-season review, time to dip into the mailbag. Doot, doot.
Beautiful. Yep. And for those of you not in the studio, which is all of you, Hutchie did that in a kind of holding the mic like...
I crooned. Blade.
You held the mic a little bit like Liam Gallagher, if you can picture that.
From above.
Kind of from above.
Yeah.
Aggressively.
But he doesn't hold it, does he? It's just dangling there. For
exactly,
him.
Exactly. Wonderful. First question, Jack's Larder.
Why do I keep jumping in? Do it.
Friend of the show.
That was beautiful. He was one of the first four, wasn't he? Five.
I think he might be number three.
Jack Slade, a friend of the show.
He's not number three.
He was in the first five.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He's a friend of the show. Jack wants to know, he's our resident chef, how well done do you like your sausages and bacon? Well, the correct answer to that is surely cooked. You can't serve that kind of medium rare. And also, how do you like your eggs in the morning?
With a kiss.
Yeah. I mean, you can't serve medium rare bacon.
No, but you can overcook both.
Well, yeah.
And I think that's the point. Some people like get a bit freaked out.
Destroyed.
I like limp bacon.
I bet you do.
Do you? Like a bit anemic. Bit
cooked. Like cooked, but like hot. Just like it's almost like hot ham.
Can we talk about how you cook it? Do you fry it?
Grill it.
Grill it. It's got to be grilled. Yeah. You've got to grill it.
I'm a frying pan man.
Oh, yeah. I bet you are. Roscoe?
Frying pan as
obviously
well.
You don't cook it yourself. Someone else cooked it for you. Sasha, probably.
Yeah.
How do you like your eggs? We've already done all that, haven't we? The pin.
Friend of the show.
Did Andy Warren...
Targeted.
Did Andy Warren give Stuart Watson something for the weekend when cutting his hair? How much does Hutch ask? How much does Hutch charge for low lights? Asking for a friend.
What does the first part of that question mean?
Did you give him something for the weekend?
No.
No.
Is that a service that barbers provide?
Potentially.
It was also a Monday.
Depends what barber you go to.
Does he mean drugs?
Because I didn't. and I will defend for the record, I will say that in a court of law.
For the record, officer, I did not give him any drugs.
I was not advocating the use of drugs.
Hutchie, have you considered a career in hairdressing after that?
I had my own haircut the following day, the day after. I told Lee about my attempt, and he gave me some tips. So I'm coming back for more.
I liked it. Next question, Alistair Rattray. If there were a social media spat between Luke Chambers and James Norwood about leaking private stories to the Anglian, who would you believe?
Neither of them two.
Really? Is Chambo not Mr. Stand-up guy?
I think they'd do it for a laugh. I think I could actually see those two mocking that up, apart from Chambers isn't visibly on social media.
About going to Mexico for gender identification treatment.
That was one of the fake stories.
Was it?
Yeah. I was on a flooded basement and wanting to get back into TV. Beautiful.
Chris Thorogood has asked a question for Stuart. Do you think at Dr. S. Watson, Stewie's now famous parody account, is actually Stuart Watson trolling himself? I have my suspicions. And then he adds, I still think we should get another striker in. You can't have enough good strikers, and there's no guarantee that Sears and Keane will get/stay fit thoughts. So, Stewie, are you in fact at Dr. S. Watson parodying your own self?
Has anyone else got suspicions?
I have no suspicions, no. Because you hate having a Twitter account, one Twitter account, so like two, I'd imagine, would be... it's far too many for you.
No, it's not you. But you have started... Did I see that you have started following it?
Yes.
You've got to.
I don't follow it.
You don't? Why not?
Because she's my boy. I don't want any fake Watson.
What are you talking about?
I want the real thing.
What's,
if the fake Stuart Watson lets me cut his hair, then I'll follow him.
Imitation, sincerest form of flattery. Plus, he shares our links, which I'm most pleased with.
Yeah, to his 200 followers.
Well, he's got to start somewhere.
My primary concern is that it's all good fun, but when they're copying in other people that might not think it's serious. I'll come for you for libel and damage of reputation. That's what I'll do.
There's a time when the laughter has to stop. We all like a laugh.
Yeah.
If you're listening, and this is real.
This is real.
It's time to stop.
Really?
No.
I disagree. I like it. Also, it's
is
fairly,
it you?
No, it's fairly obviously a parody account because you've got a stethoscope around your neck and you're wearing a doctor's jacket.
Mm.
And it also says parody in the thing.
In a bizarre turn of events, I made that picture.
Did you?
Yeah, I must have tweeted it like ages ago and they've gone back and taken it to use as the
okay.
As the profile.
So none of us think it's Stewie anyway. What about strikers? Do Town need more strikers? You see how I seamlessly moved that on? That's why I'm such a good host.
Potentially, yeah. I share those same fears about that at this moment in time.
But that would have to be the scenario, though, wouldn't it? Where Sears isn't ready in January and Keane has had something happen to him.
I do think that they'll sign a player that could make the difference in January if they're there or thereabouts, which they should be. I can see them looking to strengthen from a position of strength, and I think Marcus may well look back on 2014, the interview I did with him, he was, when I asked him about some of the biggest regrets, he was very quick to look back on that window and was, you know, I said to Mick, is there anything we can do? And they kind of decided as a duo, I think led by Mick more than anything, that we didn't want to upset the team spirit and the team balance. And they'll have that same thought process again this time around. But also I think they'll think, you know, if we can do anything to give us and maximise our chance, I think they'll look to do it.
Stefan Vasek.
Friend of the show.
I've totally nailed the pronunciation of his name.
Where
now,
is Stefan?
I think he's back now.
Is he back?
He's back because he came back specially to get ready for the Kings of Anglia live pod. December 14th. He needs a couple of months just to get mentally
more
ready for
than
it.
We are.
And he wants to know, biggest result of the season so far. That's part one of his question. And also he wants to know, how are plans looking for the big one on December the 14th? Top work as always. Cheers, lads. No, Stefan. Cheers to you for listening. Plans for December 14th. We have no plans as it stands.
We'll just do the strike.
Yeah. No, if you bought a ticket, that is not what's going to happen. Trust me, that won't happen. That will be part of the show, but it won't be the show.
In episode 4 of Kings of Anglia, Stuart revealed that...
How many minutes long was episode?
It's going to be gold. It's going to be a great night. We've yet to start planning it, purely because... we haven't got around to it.
Lazy.
But it's going to be brilliant. We're going to put on a show. Biggest result of the season so far?
Easy. Burton, the first one.
Yes.
I was going to say the same.
Good. Excellent answer.
It felt so... It was strange because the day before, Lambert had had his big Evans rant, hadn't he? Mm. And that away terrace at Burton was absolutely rammed, but you could tell there was a little bit of a nervous tension in the air.
If Thomas Holy's cock up had gone the other way, that could have been a sliding doors moment.
My word,
it?
Yeah.
Daniel Rockle. Correct. Sorry, you're wrecked.
I said correct.
Oh, okay. we are quite close in here. Daniel Rockle, realistically, how many goals can our forwards get this season? Then he goes on to list them: Norwood, Jackson, Kane, Keane, Sears. How many
Those
goals?
Four players combined.
Yeah. So Norwood's already got 5. Jackson's got 6. Sears hasn't got any in the league.
Do you remember a few weeks ago we laughed at my undercooked
prediction
here
we
for
go.
James Norwood's
Revenge
goals?
Of the Doctor. Yes, I do remember
what was
that.
It?
I can't remember, but I went lowest, didn't I? In
you
the
said,
summer, something
you said
like.
16.
Yeah.
I think I said 21.
Yeah.
Did I?
I said 37. No, I didn't. I said 28, I think. Are you saying now, Stewie, that you're feeling better about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. How about the rest of them then? Give us a prediction then. How many is Jackson going to finish on? Thriller, Mr. Thriller himself.
19.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the others?
Keane.
8.
Sears.
4.
Good. There you go. There's your prediction, Daniel. Dave Gort. Plenty of Alan Judge. We're taking it one at a time. Did you want to jump in, my friend?
No, nothing to add.
Say three numbers.
19, 24, 11, and 7.
That's 4 numbers.
Have I offended you, Stu, by not?
No.
Oh, okay. Dave Gort. You can answer this one, Stu. Plenty of Alan Judge questions, I reckon. So here's mine. Is he the best player at the club?
No.
When would he start to tear up League One?
March.
Based on what?
Well, I have to show my work in this now, do I? Carry on.
A bit devil's advocate here, but are we a better team when he's not playing?
Currently, yes.
There you go. Nice one. I like the way the doctor answered that succinctly. Martin, would you agree that we urgently need to get Andre Dizel out on loan to a League One or League Two club in January so that he gets sufficient game time? I'm concerned he isn't going to develop with so many midfields ahead. There is an argument, isn't there, for sending Andre on loan?
I cannot see Andre Dizel going out.
Why not?
To go out on loan.
It doesn't matter if he wants to.
Well, it does.
It does.
What, players have to consent, do they?
I think all three parties have to be.
This isn't the NFL, my friend, where people are just traded from snow to sun in the click of a finger, which does seem mad.
Yeah.
But, no.
Okay, so Andre wouldn't want to go out on loan.
If you're Andre Dizel and you're in the final year of your contract, I guess you could be wanting to go out and rip it up and play games, but I don't think he could really raise his value that much by going on loan to another League One / League Two club. Your reputation is what it is, rightly or wrongly. England youth team player, son of Jason, you've already had Premier League clubs looking at you. I think you could do more damage than harm to that reputation by going out.
Where would you be going as well? Because Ipswich aren't going to loan him to a top six, top eight team, are they?
Has it not been the making of like Flynn Downs and Luke Wolfenden not going out on loan?
I just think they missed the chance with that.
They should have sent him out at the same time.
Yeah. Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe last January.
Okay.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing that he should have gone out at the start of last season, having missed that much football.
I'd send him to Scunthorpe, I think. Jamie Trott, can you ask Ross what his favourite man flu remedy is? Cheers.
Nando's.
Yes.
Yeah, Ross eats Nando's like most people eat. Yeah. Normal food. He's going out. Are you going to Free Nando's on Monday?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, why not?
If you haven't heard, Ipswich Nando's is offering free Nando's on Monday. That's going to be
long line.
Carnage.
We could be sponsored by Nando's.
We could be,
couldn't
we?
That would be a good look for us.
It would be good,
it?
Yeah. Keeping the food theme, Harvey Davis.
Friend of the show.
Hi Def, as I like to call him. Chinese food is overrated. Thoughts? Who said this before? One of you has already said this.
I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
Grudgingly, I agree.
It depends where you get it from, though, surely.
Yeah,
It can be really, really greasy and genuinely coagulate.
I think that's why it's overrated, because there are so many outlets.
There are.
Are you a Chinese man, Ross?
I like it. I wouldn't say I love it.
Is there any food you don't like?
Vegetables. I like vegetables here and there. But yeah.
Here and there.
Here and there. I don't like vegetables. Amazing. You are a 13-year-old in a 23-year-old man's body, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Dylan.
I'm proud.
Yeah. Dylan says, biggest underperformer this season other than Judge. Telling.
Ooh.
Underperformer?
Yeah. Other than Judge.
I feel like we've been a little bit harsh on Alan Judge, and I do sometimes feel that when I'm writing certain things at the moment, but I think he would probably agree that he's not been anywhere near where he'd want to be at.
It's the expectation v production thing, just like with James Wilson, isn't it? But just the other side of that particular coin.
Are we offering anyone else then?
Underperformer.
Genoi Dinassian.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Poor Genoi.
He's not been helped by the fact that the right back brought in has kind of gone off like a train, has he? But
Big Daddy
Kane. He's
a what?
He's a different kind of player, isn't he? He's not the same player that Kane Vincent-Young is. And now, if you're talking about right wing backs, they're just not a similar player, are they?
I'd like to see a bit more from Gwion Edwards.
Mm-hmm. Echoing what Roscoe said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know it.
Not helped by the formation switch.
No,
not
at all.
Because I'm not particularly fond of him as a wing back.
He absolutely wiped someone out on the touchline when he came on at Fleetwood, didn't he? That was a bit of a winger's tackle there. But considering if you rewind to the start of the Paul Hurst era, Gwion Edwards was absolutely tearing up the championship around the time of that first Norwich game. I just think he's regressed a little bit since then. So that's my answer.
Good answer. I enjoyed it. Steve Mellon, formerly of this parish, very much still a friend of the Kings of Anglia magazine. Superb writer. Thanks for your stuff, Steve.
Lives in Bristol.
Lives in Bristol. When will the workplace bullying director Ross stop?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Steve.
That's not his fault. He got a proper Suffolk accent, but that's pretty good. Ross, do you consider that we bully you?
Yes.
No, you don't.
No.
If you say that again, I'll punch you. we don't bully him, Steve. He just makes himself eminently bullyable with his actions. Sindre Eliasson, one of my favourite names to say in terms of contributors. He wants to know, rapid fire, best town 11 consisting of players from different nationalities. Let's tag team it, baby. One. What are you saying?
Craig Forrest.
Right back, are we going? Gus Olumbeek.
Jason DeVos, all Canadians.
different nationalities, you can't have it.
It's got to be Herman, okay. Hasn't it?
Big there Herman. You go.
Herman's left-sided, though. Wouldn't really be saying
it. Just not overthink
slap
this.
Slap my wrists.
Someone else? Campo.
Yes.
Okay, Amir Karic.
Diego Dos Santos.
Are we going 4-4-2?
I don't care.
Doesn't matter. Don't overthink it.
Yeah. Who are you starting
with? Are we going non-British?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin Brew.
Oh, Kevin Brew.
Kevin Brew.
Top first 11.
Ballant Biner.
No Biner, no party, baby.
What nationalities haven't we had? Ulrich Le Pen. I'll stick him in. French.
Tommy Orr.
This is an appalling
Australian.
Appalling team.
This is a good start.
Quickfire, baby. That's how it works.
We need one more striker. Shefty Coochie.
Yes.
He's a good lad, isn't he? Also from Scandinavia.
Is that 11?
Nina George.
That's 11. Alright, we're finished. Nina George is 75 years old.
So we've got a team of Craig Forrest, Gus Olumbeek.
Yep.
I can't remember now.
Herman Hreiðarsson and who else at the back?
It's going to take longer to remember than it is to name. It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
We didn't want Moore. We didn't want Muir and we didn't want Tyson.
No.
We've got the big hitters.
Doesn't matter.
Let's be honest, they wouldn't be able to keep up in today's game. Nigel G, the ITFC Honey Badger, he keeps using the Honey Badger hashtag and the emojis, so he scores a million points. We have already discussed his question, but that's why he gets the question read out. He just says about sustaining the amazing progress. Oh, he asks the second question, are we really looking at a top two finish or will we end up in the playoffs?
We've got to be looking at a top two.
Top two, baby, like I said in the season preview. Mr. G, any thoughts on my suggestion to update Stu's intro music? I guess I'll find out at the start of the show.
No.
We didn't today, but we did discuss it earlier.
It has been discussed, Mr. G.
Maybe the live pod?
Maybe.
I think the feedback was that it feels a bit downbeat. Mm. You know, I need a doctor to bring me back to life. Feels a bit like last season.
Yeah. So what about Dr. Jones? Dr. Jones? Your doctor. Well, you know, by Aqua. The Barbie girl.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah.
Find it, Ross. Stick it on.
Dr. Jones?
You don't have to find it.
While you do that, Mr. McBear will say there are options being discussed in our production meetings.
What other Doctor songs are there?
There's loads of Doctors, isn't there?
Anything by Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Doctor, bring me the news. I've got a bad case of
that
having
works.
You.
Journalism and that.
Oh, God, he's found it.
That's Doctor Who.
We don't want that. Amber Redman, which of you would win if you did come dine with me?
Well, I'm out, and I think Ross is out. I think I'll predict something here. Mark is going to absolutely claim that he'll wipe the floor with everybody, but Hutch will fancy his chances quietly.
I'd fancy Hutch's chances as well, I've got to be honest.
I think entertainment as well, part of your...
That is the bit that's held me back from ever actually applying to Come Dine With Me.
The entertainment side of it.
I'm not gonna belly dance for you. I'm not gonna bring an all-male singing choir in. I'm not going to teach you to salsa, and I'm not going to play Coconut Shy. Cook your dinner.
They go and have a little route round the bedroom, and Dawn's left out her kinky nightwear, yeah. And they all have a little gossip about that.
Ooh, Dawn, saucy.
I think you might be a very harsh judge, Mark.
Me?
Yeah.
You're playing it tactical in the back of the car
on the way home. I'm the game player. Three.
Do you remember that bloke that proper kicked off at the
end?
Oh,
that's brilliant.
That's one of the best things ever. Your sad little life, Jane. I pity you.
Then did he say something like, get out?
Get off of my property.
It was brilliant.
with your grand.
Jamie Carpenter, how does this season compare to previous seasons you've covered as journalists? Is this the best year of your life? So, Hutchie, you've obviously covered a successful side in League One before under Mr. Decanio.
League Two, actually.
Sorry, League Two.
They won League Two and then spectacularly managed to mess it up when top of League One.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun.
How does this season compare then so far?
I was thinking about it, in terms of Ipswich Town's entire history, I've covered the dullest decade of Ipswich Town history. So I am bloody enjoying this at the moment. 60s won the title, 70s won the FA Cup, 80s won the UEFA Cup, 90s flirted with promotion.
Promoted twice. Playoffs.
Yeah, even the early noughties were quite fun. And then I rocked up at Archon in 2006.
Yeah.
And started covering them, I think, in 2010. And it's been pretty dull. So, yes, I am very much enjoying this. It's
superb.
Great.
FPL Tractor, in a parallel universe where the current Town team plays against the team from a year ago, what happens? I know you love these questions, boys. Would the extra quality of Shalabar and Pennington outweigh the confidence of this team? Stewie,
okay.
We actually had this conversation earlier in the office.
We did. So are we attributing the mental qualities to these teams? Is it a downtrodden relegation heading team versus...
I think it has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or are we just doing it on paper, stripping away all the mental aspects of it?
You have to have like the under par Bart... Mm. In goal, don't you?
Or is it... Yeah, because if you're comparing peak Bart versus peak Holy,
yeah,
it's Bart.
I think the way you do it is you take the kind of the mean team of each season. So the average, which obviously last season was pretty poor, against the average team from this season, which would be, you know, unbeaten.
Which version of Portman Road is this game being played in? The one where nobody turned up and it was like a morgue?
Yeah.
To use Paul Lambert's words, or... The one we have now.
Are we at risk of overthinking
it
this?
It does matter.
This season's team.
Yeah, I think so.
There
one.
We go. We got there in the end. Andy G. Can we expect any players to leave in January? Surely it's not cost efficient to operate with such a big squad.
Can we expect them to leave? Yes. Is it because of cost efficiency? No. I think the reason that people would leave is because they'll just be trying to manage keeping everybody happy, and naturally they'll start, depending on where they are in the table, they'll be starting to think 6 months ahead at that stage. We've talked about Dazel, you know, whatever's happening with his contract, I'll be interested to see his situation then.
Jordan Roberts is in his final year, isn't he? He was close to leaving this window, so he could be one.
Yep.
Ross, what are you up to?
Nothing.
James Gulp. I saw Rambo Last Blood last night. It was bloody great. Who's the best out of Rambo, Rocky, James Bond, Indiana Jones?
Rocky.
Rocky all day, every day, baby.
If it's who's the best in terms of who would you most want to be?
Yeah.
James Bond.
Everyone would say that, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Roscoe? Yes. I'd love to see you as James Bond.
No one wants to be a punch-drunk boxer, do they?
No. Ross as James Bond would be brilliant, though. He'd be sort of shooting himself and stuff like that. Shooting his bollocks off, like trying to get his gun out. Oh, Jesus. We've had a question from probably the best looking woman I've ever seen, called Liz Hernshaw. He wants to know, do you agree that Town Halls is a brilliant name for a feature and should be introduced immediately? Yes, I do. I do agree with that. I think it's brilliant.
I do too.
Yes.
But we need to work out what it's going to be.
Absolutely.
What would Town Halls consist of, Liz? Can we have a bit more feedback?
It's just a name. It's just a name. It's like Partridge Among the Pigeons.
Monkey tennis.
Just a name. Sam Tampin. Any idea when ITFC are getting a big screen in the stadium? It would go perfectly where the corner is between away fans and the Alf Ramsey stands. Smaller teams even have them.
They've talked about this for a long time. I remember speaking to Ian Milne about it. I think the issue they've got is about accessibility to the pitch. So if they want to do concerts and stuff, you have to get in the big lorries and big equipment has to come in through, is it that corner, the one that we're talking about?
Yeah.
That would be most viable.
I think they do use that corner.
So that's the thing that's holding it back, and they cost a lot of money as well.
Mm-hmm. Kevy T wants to know, can we expect more talk about Ipswich from the Kings of Anglia team in the future, or will the team continue to talk a lot about themselves? All right, salty. Salty Kevy T. It's a mixture of both, my friend. It's a broad church. There are other podcasts available if you want people just talk exclusively about Ipswich Town. Benjamin Ivey, if you could interview any football legend, past or present, who would it be?
Fanini George.
Of course. Finding Fanini. That's a good one. Stewie? Anyone?
Danny Haynes, because we've just never been able to track him down.
Got his number now.
Or I think Ross has done a bit of digging.
Got his number. So
Roscoe, what? If you could interview anyone, who would it be?
Boy Robson. Good. I know he's not a player, but just, you know, Boy Robson.
I interviewed Bobby Robson once. Yeah. He was a lovely man.
He put his arm around me once.
Did
when
he?
I was a young little boy. I've got his autograph. Oof. And he put his arm around me. And it was special. I felt.
He was, it sounds cliche to say, but he was like the best granddad you could ever have. He was so giving with his time and very polite.
I retract my earlier statement. I'd love to get Alf and Bobby together in the same room and get them to talk about each other. Because apparently
they had beef, didn't they?
There was a bit of beef there. Yeah.
A bit like Clough and Revy.
Minor beef. Mm. Alf just didn't have a huge amount of time, I don't think, for Bobby.
They were very different people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very different people. In the extent that we're different people. I think you're probably a bit Alf Ramsey.
Hello?
I'm a bit Bobby Robson.
What am I then? John Lyle.
John Duncan. And just finally, we'll finish mailbag with this. ITFC follower asked last week, of course.
Not earlier this week.
Last week he asked, how could he explain to his wife what a big deal the season was? Stewie's advice was, divorce her.
I said it was an option.
Well, he hasn't.
I took your advice about my wife and decided to divorce her. I can't stop banging on about the boys in blue, and she's not happy about it. I had to make a choice, and I've gone with my heart, the Blues. So, Stewie, I believe you said to him that there are other wives available. So he decided to test the field. So there you go.
You happy with the resolution to that piece of advice?
Yeah.
I did advocate divorce.
Now looking back, I did kind of say that, didn't I? But yeah. I'm sure everything will be fine, okay?
Yeah.
But if Ipswich, do mess this up and you kind of regret your actions, please don't hold me accountable.
Yeah. I also hope you get to see your kids.
They don't want to see me.
Final question, because when I listened to this back last week's show, I realised that someone asked a question. I actually asked the question, and then we started talking about melted cheese and never answered the question. The question
melted
was,
cheese.
How would this side perform in the Championship? I'm just dotting the I's and crossing the T's just so we've answered it. How would this side, you put them in the Championship, how would they do?
I think they need the rest of this season to evolve to be anything other than a lower third Championship team.
Yep.
Agreed.
Okay. Boys, that's been emotional. Ross has been for a wee halfway through. He's got something planned. He's got a song teed up, or has he?
No, I just put it there.
Maybe he hasn't. Let's start the prolonged outro to this show by saying, if you have enjoyed it, and it's been a mixed bag today, it's been very serious and then quite light-hearted, which is good. I would say hit subscribe on your various podcast providers. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We had one this week after I made an appeal for one last week from Bam Bam. A 5-star review. So thanks for that. And please give us some more because it helps our visibility in the chart. Roscoe, play the dull Archant jingle.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Has anybody out there sampled another Archant podcast, dear listeners? Please let us know.
Yeah, do let us know if you have. And also, as I say, please do let us know if you're listening to this further afield, because we've had a drying up of emails. I think Monty Jordan in South Korea is the furthest we've got so far, and a bunch in Australia. Boys, this weekend you make the long and frankly unnecessary trip to Accrington for a 12 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. You're travelling down on Saturday night.
Up,
all right, pedant. You're travelling up on Saturday night. You're looking forward, I'd imagine, you're both young fathers, to a night's sleep in a hotel.
Very attractive proposition.
Unencumbered.
Separate rooms.
Yeah, we'll just make that clear. What do we think about the game? It's 12 o'clock, is it a potential banana skin?
They all are, yeah. All right. No, it is. Didn't fare particularly well there last time, but this is a very different.
That was then, and this is now.
No, I think they'll be all right, you know. I think, you know, they might... I don't think they'll lose the game.
Prediction?
I think they might draw. I don't know if that counts as... Does that count as banana skin these days? Yeah, 1-1.
Stuart Watson, last time you were there, you were driving a Merc, and people serenaded you with shouts of Steve as you pulled up. What's your prediction?
1-0. Has to be 1-0.
1-0 Town.
Always 1-0.
That was peak Steve, wasn't it, then?
That was peak Steve, yeah.
Feels like that's drifted out.
Roscoe, you're on a stag do this weekend in Prague.
Mm-hmm.
What have you got planned? I assume you're going to the museums and...
No? Yeah.
Why else would you go to Prague?
I think my friends have got other plans.
Oh, good. Who's the stag?
Oh, my mate, Lee's.
Lee's from Grimsby? Lee. From Crewe?
No.
That's
no.
Liam.
That's Liam.
Oh,
nice. Get it right. I, this weekend, while you're in Accrington, you're in Prague, I'll be in Venice.
Ah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I know who's got the better end of that deal.
Yeah, you in Accrington.
No. We're not even going to Accrington on the Saturday night. We're going to Holiday Inn on the M65, so...
Where else would you rather be?
Well...
Superb. I hope we all enjoy it. I've certainly enjoyed this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it too. Any other business, boys, before we take our leave and get back to work on this Monday morning?
No other business.
This is being recorded on Friday. I just need to be clear about that.
Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next time.